What did we do to save ourselves? No, nothing. The Lord brought people into our lives and brought the truth to our attention. They brought the seeds to us. And so we have equally received. We can't brag about, we have no salvation bragging rights. And so we start on common ground. We have been placed into the body by the head, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it's His doing. Again, it's His placing. But we are one in Him.
Today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook will continue his studies in 1 Corinthians with a further look at chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is exposing the carnality of the believers at Corinth. Lance will offer us further principles in the Bible when a Christian is being carnal, principles that can help us get our eyes back on the Lord and not on ourselves. With today's teaching time of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
Remember, Paul had met these people and had spent a year and a half with these people. It's been almost 5 years since that time. You know, when he left Pastor Apollos there to assist them and to be a shepherd to them. So there really was no excuse for their not maturing. They were immature not because they were dumb. They were immature at this particular point in time in their walks because they were carnal. They were fleshy. They were immature because they refused to give up the worldly ways and their carnal desires. They became what James calls forgetful hearers of the word in James chapter 1, verse 25. How many of you know that a person who does not use information after time will lose that information? Any second language users around here? Man, you don't use that for a while and all of a sudden it's like, where is it? Nothing causes us to ignore God's truth more than not living it. Oh, they had come to God's truth. They had seen it as good, and they began to appreciate it. They received it. They were born again because of that. They had walked through that particular threshold. But again, it's not just being hearers of the word, but you've got to be doers of the word. And sometimes we say, well, I'm going to church and I'm reading my Bible and whatever other little list of cool things we think God might be impressed with. But then there's this other side of our life. There's these things that, well, we're carnal. We're still giving in to appetites of the flesh. We're still giving in to, you know, the flesh. The flesh becomes uppermost again. And we give in to that and we begin to be worldly again. Satan's using the lure of the flesh, the appeal to my flesh, and the lure from the world to appeal to my flesh. And you know, I'm still reading the Bible, but I'm not applying what I'm reading. I'm actually living out and applying the things of the world, the things that my flesh is desiring. And so he calls them babes. Think about babies. Babies, again, as I said, are dominated by the appetites of the body. The center of a baby is self. The problem here is that, again, it's 5 years later. They still needed to be fed milk. They could not yet spiritually digest solid food. What does that mean? What is this solid food picture? Solid food really gives the idea of going deeper into the Word. You need more than what you have previously received. You're growing based on what you've previously received. And so now you need more. What if I fed my 5-year-old when she is 5 years old exactly what I fed her when she was 2 months old? No, she grew and she got taller and she got heavier. And so, you know, with all of that growth came a need for more. And through that process, she cried for more. She whined for more. She got more. And so she grew more. And that's the idea. The problem is that this particular church wasn't applying that which they had received. They were not growing. And so it would be like a 5-year-old going back and, you know, looking at a 5-year-old and rather than, you know, eating, you know, food with, you know, utensils and having, you know, vegetables and a meat course and all of that, they would still be holding a bottle and saying, you know, warm it up for me. I like it warm. We would say, now that's not right. There's an abnormality to that. But that is precisely what takes place in the spiritual realm when a Christian stops applying and stops living out the truths of God's Word. They remain right there. They don't move past. They do not move beyond that door. I might even go as far as to say, how much more did you grow in your spiritual diet this year? How much more did you grow away from milk, new believers? How much more into the fine meats and the fine vegetables and that highly, you know, nutritious roughage did you go into, you spiritual saints, this year? Maybe you made it to macaroni and cheese, but it's been macaroni and cheese for 3 years. You follow me? Hey, man, it's way past macaroni and cheese, especially that Kraft Instant stuff. Way past that stuff. But we've got to be honest. Do we go beyond? Do we stay at John 3:16? God so loved the world, I know that. He gave His only begotten Son, I know that. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life, I know that. But have we gone beyond that, saint? And do we understand justification now? Do we understand why I'm saved? Do we understand redemption? Do we understand how I'm saved? Do we understand propitiation? How? That whole process. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Big word, but powerful. Have we went into the deeper things, you see? This church failed in that particular area. So for until now, you've not been able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. I remember being in high school, and my high school pastor surfed. He taught me how to surf. He was a great friend, still is. And because I had a relationship with him, good friendship and whatnot, I would go to these midweek Bible studies. And one time he said to me, he goes, I see you don't carry your Bible. Why don't you bring your Bible to the Bible study, Lance? Oh, that's probably a good thing to bring to a Bible study. I sat in the back, and after maybe about 2 or 3 weeks, he's going through the book of Revelation. I went up to him afterwards and I says, I can't track. I want to track, but I'm daydreaming. And I'm having a real hard time tracking. And I was pretty upset about this, to tell you the truth. I took it quite serious at that particular time in my life because some of the friends I was hanging around with were getting it. And they were growing. And there was greater hunger because they were growing. And they began to talk about things that I couldn't quite grasp. And I remember that to this day, that season in my life, and asking God to help me mature. And it was that summer, really, where I went away to camp and I realized it's not the intellect that God responds to. It's your heart. And my heart was given over to surfing and all this other stuff. And I was trying to make room for, you know, the spiritual things. But what was first was these physical things, my flesh. And in that particular summer, I went to a camp, and the Lord helped realign all of that. And really, from that time, there's been a real appreciation for, you know, the deeper things, you might say. But think about this. Where are you at in light of this? Again, we talked Wednesday night about not just hearing these Bible studies and saying, okay, I've got a couple of notes, but understanding God is bringing these truths our way because they're going to become part of our lives. We're going to start living this out. So where do I fit in? How is this going to affect me? We've got to move on. Oh, my goodness, we've got to move on. It's lab, right? So tomorrow we can fix all this stuff. All right. Where were we? 3? Did I get to 3 yet? There we go. All right. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Verse 4. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So he's going back to some of his previous arguments as they were following men and glorying in men. Subsequent divisions had developed in the church because of that. But again, he's just simply giving more characteristics of fleshly behavior or carnality. Envy, he says. Always wanting something else. That leads to strife. Strife, always finding something wrong. That leads to divisions. Divisions, standing apart. Standing apart. I had a good friend of mine drop by my house this week. He's been part of the fellowship since we began. And we were driving. We went to go get some food, and we were driving. And he just kind of hit me and he says, it's been a great ride, hasn't it? And I thought he's talking about his car. And I'm all, yeah, it's pretty cool. No, man. Growing up in the Lord together. And I says, yeah, it's been awesome. I says, I just, it's been a while since we talked. I just kind of said, I love what God has done. And he says, who would have ever thought that our kids would grow up together? We were kids. Who ever thought we'd get married, have all these kids? And now we're watching them grow up together. We got kids going to junior high, so we're like, hey, we need to watch each other's back. What kind of shotgun do you have? And then what kind of shotgun do you have as a conversation? But I looked at him and I says, I want you to know something. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I go, I want to be one with you, bro. I need you. And I pray you need me. I don't want anything to come between our families, ever. Nothing. And he looked at me, and when guys start talking that way, they get to welling up so they don't look at each other for the rest of the night, But I says, I really mean that. And I've shared that with a few of my friends that I really feel God has brought into my life, not just as attenders or whatever of the church, but just, I just know God's got them there. They've got my back, and I feel I've got theirs. We're one, you see. And that's what the Lord wants to do. The problem was their flesh. And at the heart of fleshly behavior is self-centeredness. Where there is self-centeredness in the body, there's going to be envy. You know what envy is? It's jealousy. Jealousy and strife. Envy or jealousy is the attitude, and strife is the action that results from it. Resenting someone else because of what we wish was ours. Jealousy is a severe form of selfishness. It's totally infantile. I can't tell you how many times in my years of pastoring, 11 years now, in September, I've had people that get involved in the body and they begin to watch who I'm around. They begin to see my leadership and they begin to admire what the leadership has in relationship forms here. And rather than just admire that and say, oh, I'm part of that, they begin to look at the position or the title or the opportunity. Well, they're around the inner circle of the leadership. They're around the board of a church, or they're around the pastor and his wife. And they begin to equate that to, something worthy of admiring. And it's not. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen outright attack. And I don't mean physically, but I mean emotionally. They become jealous towards others in the ministry, friends of the minister, friends of ministry. And they begin to just get envious and jealous and begin to try and undermine those people and say bad things about those people. And, it breaks my heart, the body of Christ. And we've got to guard our hearts against that, you see, resenting someone else. Carnality will corrupt morals. Carnality will weaken personal relationships, lead to divisions in the church. That's why Paul says, are you not walking like mere men in verse 3 there? It's another way of saying you are thinking and behaving in a fleshly way. Now, fleshly, immature people are who he's talking about here. And fleshly, immature people cooperate only with those fellow friends and associates with whom they happen to agree with or who they might personally appeal to. Factions start. Factions surface where there is jealousy and strife or any other form of, carnality. When a congregation develops loyalties around individuals, man, it is a sure symptom of immaturity, and potential division is on the horizon. In verse 4, it was sinful for factions to develop around Paul and Apollos. And so it is equally sinful for divisive factions to develop around any man in the church today. And I've, again, seen this, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I, see someone struggling in the body of Christ, especially someone that is being used or has been used, and I see they're struggling. We have struggles. I have struggles. Just so let's get the record straight. I have struggles. I have bouts with pride. I have bouts with insecurity. I can become jealous. I can become envious, just like the next person. But I do thank God for what he's exposed me to, because I've seen the backlash in the body of Christ. I've seen the effects of jealousies in the body of Christ. I've seen it. And I've seen the people rally around their friends rather than, run to God. There's some people in churches who have personalities that just draw people around them. Paul warned of those that would come into the body making disciples after themselves. And typically those people are not the kind that, repel people from them. They usually have a dynamic personality or something going on that draws people to them. Maybe even an intellect or a charisma or a personality. And sometimes they come into the body and they draw people to themselves. And let me tell you how you'll know you're being drawn to man. Okay, so you guys should take this note. It's very important. Because they'll ask you to follow them. Now, this is what I say. This is what I feel. Let me give you my judgment. Let me give you my ruling. And they'll actually judge the matter. They'll actually tell you what to do. And they'll actually, and what they're doing is they're saying, follow me. Be careful of those people. And usually in the same context of doing that, they've got to put down anything that would threaten their position or their place in your life. And usually in a body of Christ, that's going to be the leadership of that particular body of Christ. So they'll make, you know, statements that undermine and draw into question. I call it the gray shadow they like to cast over others so that they themselves look happening. Be careful. If anybody, you know, says something derogatory about others in the body of Christ, you need to say, first of all, that's wrong. And then you need to let them, you know, tell them, hey, you need to go to that person. Matthew chapter 16 says, you go to that person and deal with that. But if someone is, you know, leading you to follow them, and it's this friendship with them is really important, and, you know, they're laying the head trip on you and the guilt trip on you, and they're trying to pull you in, and it's not the Lord, the Holy Spirit isn't drawing, be careful. Be very careful. And that's where a lot of times people will leave a church because they didn't get the position they wanted or the title they wanted or the agenda they wanted. And then they'll usually go on a little campaign if they're of that type, the divisive sorts. Those that draw people after themselves will go on a campaign and tell people, hey, it's better over here. Or, you know, we've moved to this city. Why don't you come and join us? I know a guy that built a church that way. It only lasted a year, but he moved away, bittered and disgruntled against this one body, and then moved away and sent letters out to everybody, hey, come up to this area and live. There's all this booming out here, and you get all these jobs. And, man, this guy destroyed a bunch of families. And this was happening as well. To what degree, we don't know, but it was happening in the church at Corinth. And it all comes back to being carnal. Well, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. The imagery of agriculture here. Paul would use that to state a point. He likens the church to a field that should be bringing forth fruit. The job of the minister is to cultivate the soil, to sow the seed, of course, and the watering and then the harvesting of the fruit. Paul says, don't give us credit for the fruit. We're only instruments that God used. Verse 5, we're simply messengers carrying the message that saved you. They were the instruments. He knew it. Not the source of their salvation, but the instruments. So he says, you know, Christian leaders here, such as himself, such as myself, if you are a leader, we are ministers. This is not the word doulos, which speaks so much of just the bond servers, but this is diakonia, which means a menial worker. It's often used not even as the waiter of the table, but the busboy. I've got my part with the meal, but the food and the sustenance of that and the all of that is the Lord's. It's all His. I've just been privileged and enlisted to help carry that which is so valuable. It's not of me. It has nothing to do, you know, as far as with Paul. I carried it. I gave it. Only instruments there to deliver God's meals. So each one of these ministers were used, though, in different ways. That's what he's saying. But we're insignificant. Nobody's. It's God who brought the life. And so again, he's saying it's wrong to be in awe over the man. No man, not even the best farmer, could give physical life or grow a plant. Do you realize it? We always say, oh, that person's got a green thumb. Yeah, no, they just follow the directions on the little stick that came with the plant, you know. They watered it, you know, and they. Some people say, I talked to the plant. You know, okay, well, that's your deal. I talked to God. But, you know, it's God. So if no man can bring physical life or grow a plant, how much less can anyone, even an apostle, give spiritual life or growth to a person? The most that a man can do in either case is to prepare the water for the soil, plant the seed in the soil. The rest is up to God. So give him glory. You ever seen anybody build a monument to a busboy? No, you probably won't. The world, though, it honors and tries to immortalize great men because in the world's eyes, great men are the greatest things. That's all they see. They don't see above the greatness of man to God. The world cannot see beyond itself, but Christians, we know God. Corinthians, you guys know God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior, the source of all things. Now, he alone is worthy of honor. If an artist is to be honored, you do not make a statue of his brush or of his palette. It makes no sense or no more sense for Christians to glorify men, even Paul or Apollos, who only brushes in the master's hands. That's all they are. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And when our attention is on the Lord, it cannot be on ourselves or on human leaders or human factions. One more verse. Kind of ties in. All right. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So why all the divisions, guys? We're one, working together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. All ministers have the same office. We all stand in relation to God equally. We all stand in the church equally. So Paul says, how can we compete with one another? There's no such thing as isolated ministry. We are fellow laborers. When I think about, you know, all of us here at Calvary Chapel La Habra tonight, you know, what did we do to save ourselves? No, nothing. The Lord brought people into our lives and brought the truth to our attention. They brought the seeds to us. And so we have equally received. We can't brag about, we have no salvation bragging rights. And so we start on common ground. We have been placed into the body by the head, Jesus Christ. God has placed each one in the body as he so wills, 1 Corinthians 12. And so, you know, it's his doing. Again, it's his placing. But we are one in him. And that's really the point that Paul wants to make. He wants to get them back to focusing on the body. Now, we all have different tasks. Each one of these guys did. Which, interestingly enough, means we have some unique rewards coming as well. He rewards us for the work we do, not for the results. Because the results belong to the Lord. We receive a reward even if nothing comes from my effort. That's what boggles my mind. Each one's going to receive a reward according to his own labor. So the Lord saved me. The Lord placed me. The Lord gifted me. The Lord anoints me. The Lord empowers me. The Lord uses me. The Lord opens doors to be used by him. And he works through me in that particular capacity. And he brings forth the fruit. And then when it's all said and done, all that he's done, he goes, here's a reward. That's amazing. And sometimes we sit back and go, look what I did. Oh, yes, it was the Lord, but look what I did. He'll reward us. Our usefulness and our effectiveness are purely by God's grace. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let me read this. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So again, Paul cuts off potential divisions now that could come in to the church through the flesh, through being carnal in chapter 3. And he cuts it off again by showing them it can't be. We're one in God. It's all his doing. So it's all according to his grace.
Well, today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook has been offering his timely principles in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As we've been drawing application and insight on when a Christian is being carnal and how to get our eyes back on the Lord. Now, to receive today's study on audio cassette or compact disc, we have it available. Simply mention tape number 4602-08. That's 4602-08. And simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. Again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're writing a check to us, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment. The address is 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. That's Seeds of Commitment, 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. To get all of our contact information, simply go to our website at www.seedsofcommitment.org. It's there you can know more about the radio ministry, where you can hear Seeds of Commitment, and the other items that we have posted on our website. Simply log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. Sowing His Word, fulfilling His purpose. This is Seeds of Commitment, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Chapel La Habra in California. Join Lance Cook for more insights in 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.